It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more. More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there, and I'm not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me. Well, I guess we're, well, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's happening here. This is, something else is happening. Let's, I don't know if it's going to go back and play that or not. I don't know. That was the news according to me, singers, the TNA singers tried to get in there. And it's the news according to me. Oh, yeah. You know, I was looking for that song the other day. Couldn't figure out what happened to it. I knew I had to, but apparently I tagged it in with another song. It's at the end of that other song. And then I apparently had deleted the other one. I don't, because I don't have that anywhere. Wow. TNA to me singers are really sneaky. They're sneaky singers. Say that five times fast. Sneaky singers, sneaky singers, sneaky singers. Sneaky singers, sneakers. Sneaky stingers is what it ends up being. They're a bunch of sneaky singers. Stinky stingers, 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 whatever that is. And I'm sober. Yes, and I have in my cup this morning. It's by the way, it's a live show this morning. It's live. It is 8:35 a.m. February 17th, 2023. It's the feel-good hit of 2023. I have vanilla chai with... Starbucks pumpkin spice creamer in there that's almost gone. I think one more cup. Over the weekend, it'll be gone. I'll have something else in my cup on Monday morning. That's going to be for – that'll be certain because even if I have some left, I'm dumping it out. I've had it with this stuff, and it just has this weird flavor to it. I don't know what it is. So anyway, thanks for listening this morning. Thank you for – and welcome to the show. This is the show where I tell you that I am not a doctor or a lawyer. I tell you what's in my cup. I'm not a financial counselor or an epidemiologist. Also not a chronologist or a dentologist or a ophthalmologist. I'm just a guy. I have a microphone here and a lot of opinions. And about 60 years of wealth and knowledge that have, for the most part, vanished, but I still have about 5% of that left. So I'm going to share that with you. What I have left that hasn't burned out from brain cells going away, it's between that and my hearing, those two things are going away. That's why I do a podcast where I talk to you and I don't have to listen to you because I can't hear you anyway. I wouldn't want to anyway. Even if you had something to say. No, I really would like to hear what you had to say. If you happen to be on Podbean this morning, you can log in and comment on the show if you want to get in the chat room. You can do that. I'm probably going to be doing some other things in a couple years after I retire formally from the particular job responsibilities I have in this other situation. I'm going to do a lot more show development for this show, and it's right now I just have the time to, you know, this is just more therapy for me to come down here in my basement and. Or go to my office and just spout off for a while. But I had listened to some interesting podcasts yesterday and this morning. I happened to catch one from Dinesh D'Souza. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's a guy who immigrated here. He's I'll call him a serial documentarist. He makes a lot of documentaries. He's the guy who did the movie 2000 Mules. He's the guy who was persecuted, singled out and persecuted, made an example of by Barack Obama, put in prison
because he was a political opponent. Now, a lot of things happened under the Obama administration that we don't talk about much, because he is the sacred messiah on the left, and you cannot say anything bad about him, or you're a racist. His policies cannot be attacked because you're a racist. Because he could do no wrong. You know, I was playing this game one time. It was an interesting game. It was one of those family games where you're trying to get to know your family. And this, you go around the room and everybody writes down. The game was a person draws a card and you ask a question. And then everybody writes down on a piece of paper what their answer is to the question. And they throw it into this little box. And everybody draws. And the person who drew the card then takes the paper out, draws a piece of paper out, and says what the answer is. And you're supposed to guess who gave that answer. So you're trying to find out, you know, what kind of person, how they answer those questions. Find out more about that person by how they answer the questions. Well, the one question came around, and there were some things that were borderline political. Speaking of which, while I'm on this subject, let me just go down a couple rabbit trails here. Now, I got to put a pin in this. Let me see if I can actually do this. I'm going to try to write down where we're at, because if otherwise I will forget. Where's my notes? My notes aren't here. Huh, I wonder what happened to those. They're gone. Completely gone. What do you know? So I have this, we're playing this game. And let me see if I can pull this other thing up. Otherwise I will forget. There we go. There it is. Probably won't let me because it's going to say, oh, you've got the wrong version. You have to update this computer or that computer. You got the wrong version of this or that or whatever. Who knows what. But what happened was we were playing this game. And now, one of the things that Biden said at the beginning of that little intro thing, if you were listening live, you heard this little thing where Biden said, I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about, wait, people are politicizing this thing. They want to talk about freedom. I have the right to kill you with my COVID. That's what he said. He said that in a speech. Now, be very clear on something. Let's be very clear here. Freedom is not a political issue. Not the way he's mentioning it there. Well, you want to politicize it and say it's about freedom. Actually, freedom is not a political argument. Freedom should be a right, period. We're not talking about parties. We're not talking about partisan politics here. That's what he was drawing the line that it was partisan politics that people were playing. I'm going to play political here. Say it's, freedom. No, freedom's not a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. So what you're saying is the Republicans, by and large, the conservatives were the ones who were saying they didn't want to be jabbed. You're saying that the conservatives are the ones who are crying for freedom, and that the Democrats, the leftists, are the ones saying that they're against freedom. Freedom kills. Folks, I hope we never forget some things that have happened in this nation. I know that this country has a memory that's about 2 minutes long right now. Some of the things that we've been told by this administration that people have totally forgotten. They're crying now about infrastructure. 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 They're blaming the derailment of the trains on Trump because he deregulated the train industry. The regulations that would have been put in place. And Obama tried to put them, he actually didn't try to put them, he actually fought against putting some regulations in place. But he ended up signing off on them. One of them was some kind of braking system that on the trains. They're claiming it was, if those trains would have had those brakes, that this wouldn't have happened. This is the straw man thing of, we don't know. Well, imagine how many people would have died if we hadn't been wearing masks. Really? You can't quantify that. There's no scientific evidence to that whatsoever. These people who cry science all the time, they have no scientific evidence whatsoever of this whole thing. They just scream it out there. Oh, because they're basing it on an assumption. They're not basing it on any scientific data. In fact, the scientific data is just the opposite. There's no evidence of some of these things. So they scream about the whole. They want to blame Trump for the derailment now. As soon as they found out that this balloon was creeping across this country, what did they do? Well, there were three of them in the previous administration. Under Trump, there's three of them. They didn't even know about it. What is Trump supposed to be out there with his binoculars all over the place looking for balloons? I think there was some dereliction of duty if Trump wasn't informed that there were balloons flying over. But again, we've been out shooting down weather balloons and children's toy balloons. That's what we've been shooting down. They're embarrassed by this and they don't even want to admit it. At least Biden came out and said that much. But then he walks off the stage and he starts yelling at reporters, telling them, oh, you're just nasty people. You're impolite. Oh, you're kidding me. And he starts laughing at him. This guy's, you know, the way Trump treated what that one guy that was always heckling him from CNN, Jim Acosta, took away his press pass for a little while. That guy deserved to have his, he should have had, he was very rude, disruptive. But he played it off like he was some kind of hero stepping up there, facing off with the president, asking him the tough questions. Where is he now? He doesn't ask anybody tough. He's sitting there defending Biden. They're defending Fetterman right now. Well, you know, he didn't make that vote. We wondered why he didn't make that vote. Well, you know, after he had that one thing with this Democrat retreat, not Democratic retreat. It was the Democrats had a retreat. He was lightheaded and went to the doctor and then he went to the hospital, was in the hospital. Then he had a relapse, went back to the hospital again. Didn't make it to this vote. Well, that's your job. If you can't do your job, you were unfit to begin with. Kate, let's just put it in another context. Let's say that Fetterman went off to school and got his license to be a school bus driver. And about halfway through driving the kids around, he had to get off the bus because he was lightheaded and couldn't do his job and couldn't pass a DOT physical because of his situation. We were told, by the way, back in October before the election, we were told, well, you know, he's recovering better. He's more better and better every day. And by January, he's going to be fine. Well, here we are. He's not fine. We were told he would be fine. And now they're making excuses. Well, he went through a really tough campaign. Just get writing all kinds of excuses for him while they're reporting on this incident. I'm just saying it's one particular reporter that was reporting on it. So let's get back to this game. The game. Oh, the game. We were playing this game, and I think one of the statements or one of the comments was that welcome to the show. By the way, those of you who've walked in, those of you who are listening live, we were playing this game, and my I have a relative who's now been once removed, but we have a relative in the family that looks and acts an awful lot like Elizabeth Warren. Is probably a little more radical than Elizabeth Warren. Now, this was back, it had to have been before 2016. I think this was back in around 2012, 2013, maybe it was 2010, I don't know. We're here at our house and we're playing this game. And the question was, and I don't remember it exactly, but it was something to the effect of what kind of answer you would give to a question to a statement like why do you think that the US, the United States is greater than any other nation? Or why would you say that if you were to say that America is greater than any other nation, why would you say that it was greater than any other nation? And she out loud said, it's hard to think of anything, any reason other than, you know, Barack Obama. And that's what she put on her paper, of course. Because of Barack Obama. That's the only reason this nation is great, because of Barack Obama. This was the cult that was the left and their identity politics, and the only thing they can see is the little nub on the face of whatever they're talking about it. So my answer was, people still line up and wait for years to come here, and they risk their lives coming here. And you don't see very many people leaving. Oh, they threaten to leave, but they don't leave. Now, I'm embellishing a little bit more than what I actually put on my little piece of paper. But the basic statement was, people still line up to come here, wait for years, and risk their lives to come here. You don't see that happening anywhere else. You don't see people lining up at the door of Russia trying to get in. You don't see people lining up at the door of Mexico, other than trying to traverse across Mexico to come here. They're the doormat, if you want to call them that. Not that the people are, I'm just saying that they use it as a doormat to get here. You don't hear this about any place in Africa, lining up and risking their lives to get to Nigeria, to get to India. Now, there are missionaries that will do that. There are business people who are out there doing that kind of thing. But they don't want to live there. There's, and yet, even after saying that, they were like, oh yeah, well, that's a good point. But you know, Barack Obama, he's the best, he's the only good thing that's ever happened to this country. Now, I was thinking about some of this stuff, and one of the things that crossed my mind this morning in my time of reflection was how they dismiss, how easy it is for them to dismiss someone. Well, the founders, they were all slave owners. No, they weren't all slave owners. There was only a few of them that were slave owners, and most of them were phasing that part of their lives out. They realized that this was not good. Now, even in the midst of all that, if someone, let's say someone is a racist, let's say someone is a bigot. They don't like someone else because of the color of their skin. Now, when I say racist, everybody thinks, oh, that's a white person, white supremacist. No, not necessarily. I saw racism in Nigeria. I was in Nigeria for a while, and I saw racism there, and it was tribal racism. It was one family group against another, and there was the Fulanis and the Hutus. Actually, there weren't very many Hutus in Nigeria, actually. It was mostly, what was the other tribe? I can't think of the other tribe. It was just as much bitterness and hatred towards each other, as each other's clan, as there is here in skin color. And they'd hated them for no other reason than the fact that they were from that tribe. Much like a Samaritan. And just because a person is of another color, or just because a person is has that bitterness or hatred in their heart towards another person, another group of people, does not mean that everything else they say should be just discounted. If you're about to get hit by a bus and a racist reaches out to pull you out of the way, say you got your foot stuck in a grate, and they reach out to pull you out of the way and say, no, you're a racist, I'm not going to let you help me. Okay, then splat. See ya. And yet we have this tendency to discount people 100% because of 1% of what they believe. I'm just saying it's. I'm not saying how to correct that. All I'm saying is it's human nature, kind of in a sense. But we need to put that in check. Is what I'm saying. We need to get a grip on that. The founders put together a nation for a very.
Oh, the Second Amendment's archaic. It was made by a bunch of white slave owners who had white supremacy. Didn't even. So we have to get rid of that document.
That's that very document that gives you the right to stand up and say that. Be very, very careful with this document that you consider to be archaic and out of date. The success and the prosperity that people have experienced in this country, the ability to go from living on food stamps to owning a major shipping company, for example. I personally know someone who's done this. Owns a trucking company that is nationwide right now, worldwide actually. This individual started, he had two little boys. They were living on food stamps in a shack that someone was allowing them to stay in. Basically, it was like a barn. He saved his money and he got a truck. Wasn't even a semi-truck. It was just a truck. And he started delivering things. Next thing you know, he had an opportunity to get a semi-truck. He worked his tail off to feed his family and to build his business. I don't know. I don't even know if he knows how many trucks he owns now. You can't drive down the highway, any part in this country. You can't be on the highway for more than an hour and not see one of his trucks somewhere. Now, I believe he has since passed away. I'm not sure. I've lost touch with him over the past few years. I believe he's probably passed away. His sons had taken over the business. In fact, the name of his company was actually named after his sons. I'm pretty sure they're both still fully operational there. That's the kind of nation we live in. Now, in other countries, this does not happen. They cancel you or put you in a particular family group. It is a caste system, what they call a caste system, where you, because you are of a certain family or because you're a certain place or person, you will always be in this pigeonhole. That is exactly what the left is doing to society today. They're even going back in your social media history to find anything that you might have said to cancel you and make you irrelevant and make you subhuman and not treat you like you're the rest of your opinions don't matter. You're canceled. You want to say zip it. Every time you try to say something, zip it. That's where we're at today. So it's off the subject of where I was going with this stuff. But so that was the story of the game. But it was very obvious to me in that moment, it was very telling that the idea of success or the idea of a good country was that we had this particular individual in office. And you shall say no evil about this person, because otherwise you are a racist. You're a bigot. You're subhuman. Your opinion no longer matters because of your racism, because you disagree with something that this guy wants to do. Now, he was one of those people who, I'm out here cleaning up the mess. I'm gonna clean up your mess. I'm going to use a mop. Well, it's a socialist mop. Yeah, it is. It's a socialist mop. It's a collectivist mop. And it really wasn't socialism. The definition of, the way they change definitions of everything anyway, but their definition of socialism has been changed. It is communism. In fact, it goes beyond communism. It is a hybrid form of collectivism that really has more of a Marxist tone. And one of the ways they cover for this is that they call everybody else a fascist for not agreeing with their social popular ideas, what they perceive to be social, they tend to want to isolate us. This is the way the enemy has always worked especially on God's people. He will isolate you, make you feel like you're alone. You're the only one. You give up on society. You just give up altogether. Just go along to get along. Because everybody else has already gone down this road. Oh, well, I don't want to be the oddball. And, 5 or 10% of the people can make you feel that way. And guess what? 80% of the people would be in your same situation. They just go along to get along. Because they feel like they're alone out there in the world. Because nobody is standing up and rallying the troops. So, there you go. That's my opinion. Yeah. I'm halfway into the show here, and I haven't even talked about the FBI. Dinesh D'Souza had a really interesting perspective. He had done some research on some things with the FBI, the history of the FBI, and what has happened with it. And I think it's pretty interesting to look into this. What we have, basically, is we have an organization that prior to 9/11, he kind of pivots the whole thing on 9/11, and it really, I think he's accurate in this. 9/11 was the pivotal moment. And the reason they blamed a lot of things on how did these guys get in? How did this happen? Well, it's because the CIA and the NSA, at that time we didn't have a DNI. We didn't have any of that. All we had was the NSA, the CIA. The NSA was supposed to be an internal, in-country security system, an intelligence agency. The CIA was never supposed to operate within the shores of the United States. Now, of course, they had ways of doing that. Not willingly, Senator. James Clapper said that. He said, do you spy on American people? No. So you guys don't gather any information on the American people? Well, not willingly, Senator. Oh, so you do, just not willingly, not wittingly. Lying through his teeth. Since 9/11, there's this new rule that was put in place. Well, the reason that happened is because the NSA couldn't talk to the CIA. As soon as these guys got into the country, the CIA couldn't give information to the NSA. Well, now they all work together. In fact, the FBI has become centralized. And what ended up happening here was the FBI used to have field agents. The field agents were there to support and help. Mostly, they weren't the ones out there doing the raids and doing everything. They were helping local law enforcement, carrying the weight, basically, doing the lion's share of the hard lifting, the heavy lifting, was done by local law enforcement. The FBI was there to help them. After 9/11, this changed. The FBI was granted a lot more power, and it became more centralized. It was more of a top-down organization with regard to local law enforcement. When the FBI, when the feds came in, they're taking over. They're taking charge. They weren't just a resource anymore. Now, legally, they still do not have the right to. If the county sheriff wants to boot the feds out, they can do that. They can boot them out. In this county, we have had a history, in my county that I live in, we have had a history of a very good, in my opinion, for the most part, county sheriffs, at least in the recent, in the past recent 15, 20 years. There have been federal agencies that have come in to bust people like the Amish and do things like, they're selling milk without it being pasteurized. County sheriff shows up and boots them out of the county. You're not going to do that here. There is a law here in the state of Indiana that if an agency, if anybody breaks into your home and they do not identify themselves and make clear why they're coming into your home, you have the right to shoot and kill them. If they're invading your home, they bust your door down in the middle of the night and you shoot them, guess what? You're scot-free. That's just not going to happen here. Now, if they present you with a warrant and you resist it, And they can't just say, we've got a warrant, come in. They have to show you the warrant. In fact, I think it's the law here, I think, is the way they have to read the warrant to you and present you with a copy. And then they can exercise the warrant. I think there's, now I know the state of Indiana is under those rules. I'm not sure what the feds will do. Now, typically, the way the feds have been operating though lately, they just come in and do whatever they want to do. And while they're talking to you, they're back behind the scenes. They're back there tearing your house apart. That's because it's become more centralized, and in my opinion, it's become more corrupt because of this. The way it was set up prior to 9/11, it was very, very difficult for it to become corrupt because you had these field agents who were out there basically providing a resource. They didn't have that much power. Now, the more power that they had because they centralized it, and at the same time, the other part of the power that they had was that they were connected now with information and informants throughout the CIA and the NSA. And of course, then there was the Department of National Intelligence that also was supposed to oversee all the intelligence agencies. That was what Clapper was in charge of before he stepped out or was booted out. So James Comey, Clapper, John Brennan, who was a self-avowed communist, by the way, who has never disavowed communism. Many years ago, he declared himself a communist. And here he is, head of the CIA. Great. I haven't heard him much on the radio lately or on television or anything. Now, Clapper actually has a contract with either CNN or MSNBC as a contributor. They step out of that, you know, that one position. It's like a revolving door over there. They just go in and out over there. Qualifies them. And just like Liz Cheney and I believe Adam Kinzinger now also has a position now with MSNBC as a regular contributor. Now they'll do that kind of thing. They'll get them in there and then they get tired of them. They don't use them anymore. How Don Lemon is still has a show, I have no idea. Does he really have that many fans? Are people like really Don Lemon fans? Or are they just have him around there for anyway. So this stuff is going on. So what has happened then with the FBI is it has become more corrupt. It had this opportunity to become more corrupt. And this all happened. It all started to become realized actually under the Obama administration. Obama started recognizing, hey, we can use this organization. So he started putting in people at the top on the seventh floor or whatever, the top floor of the FBI over there. They call it the seventh floor, I think, that run the show. In other words, they're the administrators. They're the ones who have, you know, they put all these guys in compartments. They're all of their investigators, basically. Sometimes they'll have them investigating things. They don't even know what's part of the story it is. They compartmentalize it all so that it limits corruption. But it also establishes more power at the top because there's only one or two people who know the full story. So when the guy at the top says, well, this is what's happening. This is the report I'm going to give they're going to give this report to the president. The little field agent doesn't know any better. Oh, well, my part of the story must not have mattered, or what I picked up was different than what they're saying, but there must have been other intelligence from these other guys that were out, because we can't talk to each other. So somebody else must have found this stuff out. They can make up stories, they can do whatever they want. They can go off to England and get a former intelligence officer over there to go to Russia and pick up all this, make up some kind of stories, put a dossier together and say, oh yeah, we're going to use this to go to a FISA court and we're going to surveil people all around this candidate. People who call him all the time, we're going to surveil them because we can go too deep beyond that. So we can actually hear the president or the candidate for president. This is the way they operate. This has become their standard. And of course, Congress wants to give them some oversight and step in and say, what are you doing here? What's happening here? Well, we can't comment on that. It's an ongoing investigation. They've learned all these tricks. It's a lawyer speak. It's all the stuff that they've learned how to do. So is Tim Tebow, is he an operative? Well, it's an internal matter we can't talk about. It's an ongoing internal matter. Can't talk about that. Oh, here we go again. Can't talk about that. So these it's all theater right now at this point. It's all political theater. The investigations that they get into. Now, whether or not Jim Jordan will be able to pull anything off with this, I don't know. We don't have a DOJ right now that will go after anybody upon recommendations of the council that's going after, the weaponization council that's going after these guys. So who knows? I really seriously doubt that anything will actually, there'll be any like serious accountability. Maybe the American people will be informed. Now, the other side of this is I wasn't planning on talking about this, but the Nord Stream pipeline, for example. The Nord Stream pipeline now has been very seriously analyzed by a leftist. And guess what? They have determined that, yes, it was the Biden administration that blew the thing up. There are details and receipts on this whole thing that go deep. I mean, it's all plausible. It is all not just plausible, it's probably pretty sure that the U.S. or NATO or somebody somehow, the NATO coalition, probably the U.S., blew up Nord Stream and Nord Stream 2. And they blamed it on Russia, which is absolutely ridiculous. Everything's always Russia's fault. All the earmarks of a Russian explosion. Which, by the way, Clapper now is backpedaling that. Why would Clapper, and this Politico ad, this somebody brought this in, up the other day, and it was a very good point. Clapper came out and said, I never said that. They lied. All I said was that it was the earmarks of Russia. Now, of course, I always said that that's what they would say because they were very careful with their language. They never said it was Russian disinformation. They said it all has all the earmarks. Well, that's what he's saying now. Well, I never said it was Russia. I just said it had the earmarks. Because they realize that it's going to come out that this stuff is genuine, that it really did happen, that the whole thing was this letter was a hoax. It was all an attempt to protect the president. So when this article came out declaring he was a liar several months ago, why didn't he come out then and say, no, I didn't say that? It was before the election they actually came out and said that. And yet he didn't defend himself then. He's defending himself now. All of a sudden, he's coming out and saying, I never said that. Because he knows they're coming after him. He's going to be subpoenaed. He's going to be called before Congress and asked some questions. Of course, he's going to say, I can't recall. I don't remember. That was, more than a day ago. So we'll see. We'll see how this all works out. I just don't know. I'm really hopeful for some kind of accountability. The best kind of accountability is if we can somehow rally people enough to get out there and vote. And I'm not sure early votes are the way to go. See, I personally, here's how I see it. The early voting thing, it's like, well, we got to get out there and vote early or vote. Voting early is better than not voting at all. Maybe, probably. I'm concerned that the early voting thing gives them time to play with the votes. I'm not so certain of the security of the early voting system. But there's also the ballot harvesting thing that happens. And it's very, in my opinion, sleazy in the way they go about this. When they're going into nursing homes and getting people's votes for them, that's just something that morally I don't think we're going to see the right do. I don't think we're going to see Republicans doing that. Because they don't have this mentality of the end justifying the means. See, they see their political agenda to be so much higher than any kind of nefarious activity. Well, we got to do whatever we can to win because they're going to cheat us. They're going to rob us. If we don't do this, they're just going to beat us. So you're going to cheat. You think your cheating is more justified than what you're claiming the other side is cheating about. Well, because they're, you know, because they're obstructing. They're, you know, they're limiting votes. They're doing all this stuff to stop democracy. They said that about the last, they said that about 2022 elections. And in the states that they said were being oppressed, voter oppression, they had more votes than ever in those states. That's not a sign of voter oppression. So I'm not exactly sure how they get away with this all the time. Well, I know how they get away with it because the media is in the tank. And they continue to repeat the lies over and over. Repeat a lie enough, and they themselves, first of all, they themselves start to believe it. They start to become more convincing. And the more people hear it, the more they believe it. So there were some audio clips that I was trying to figure out what I wanted to play this morning. I probably should have gathered up some clips from some of these interviews or some of these panel discussions that they've been I've been seeing here recently. And it's really interesting because it's supposed to be a random group of individuals. Some of them were like entertainers and some of them were not. It's like a group of kind of sparsely known entertainers. And another one was just a group of individuals from a campus. And some of the things that are being said, and they're doing is regurgitating the things that they've heard, the talking points, the platitudes. But you've got some people on there occasionally that have like some regular, like some real common sense. And some articulation, they can actually shoot these people down. And it's actually pretty powerful. And I wanted to play some of these because it really shows the vitriol and the radicalness of some of these ideas. Now, recently, I also wanted to play an audio, which I probably will do next week. Just didn't have time. I had some other things to attend to last night with the whole band practice. And News According to Me singers, it was with another group, and just didn't have time to put the audio clips together. Maybe I'll do that for one of the next week's shows, or possibly for Friday's show. I'll probably just do it for next week's show, but maybe for Monday I'll do it for Monday because there's some interesting things that are. If I played this for you, your stomach would turn. I played it for my wife. Some of the things that Disney put out. I guess this show has been, I guess it's being pretty much pushed back. There's a lot of pushback on it. Talking about how, you know, slaves built this nation. This nation was built on slavery. Slaves built the nation. And it goes on and on. It sounds like a Black Lives Matter demonstration is what it sounds like. It's like a combination of Black Lives Matter. If they married the Black Panthers, their kids, people, their kids, spouting off, saying all the things they're saying. Like maybe, you don't know, the things that they would say in the Church of Farrakhan, you know, it's the kind of thing. It's just really, really, really bad. So I played this. I said, this is what Disney's putting out. I played it to her. They're like a 1 minute clip. And you could tell she was just repulsed by it. She's just, that's really bad. And it's mainstream. This is not just some kind of fluke or freak thing that they're doing. This is Disney putting it out on a kid's show. It's kind of scary, the kind of rhetoric that is being drummed up and implanted in our children. They have this idea that, yeah, white kids should be sorry or upset that they're white. They should be ashamed of being white. They're saying things like this. It's coming out of their mouths. They're actually making the statements publicly and making it sound like it's the truth, and it just blows my mind. And again, I'm going to come back to this statement, and I know it's not popular, but I think it needs to be said. The only way we are going to see healing from the racial issues in this world, in this nation, is when the religious leaders, and I'm going to call it the black churches, any church. What did Jesus say? pray for those who persecute you. Right? Isn't that what he said? Bless those. Forgive those. So I would say to my black friends, and I know that the ones who are truly my friends agree with me on this. The black community, the brown community, those who feel that they are being oppressed by the white man need to dig down very deep and find a way to forgive. Because a root of bitterness will just continue to grow in you, and it will not end well. It leads to all kinds of trouble. This is not a very popular thing, especially for a white man to say. But it is the only healthy way out of this. Reparations will never be enough. We need to move forward by forgiving each other. And I'm here to tell you, if you are a black man or a black woman, brown person, a minority of any kind, or whatever you are, if you're a white person and you feel like you've been wronged by another race simply because of the color of their skin or because of their whatever it is, that you haven't been successful because of some kind of oppression that's been put upon you just because of your skin color or your ethnic group or your religion. It's time to forgive. That's the only way we're going to see healing in this country. Only way. Al Sharpton does not have the answer. How long has he been doing what he's doing? And all he keeps doing is just baiting it. Jesse Jackson made his living for years on racism. These people are disingenuous. They don't really want to see healing in this country. I know of plenty of leaders who've stood up and said, we apologize on behalf of America and the American people and the white man, whatever it is. They've apologized and apologized and apologized. Got a fellow who just said hi in the comments here. Name is Christian. Hello, Christian. I'm just getting ready to end the show, but I'm gonna go ahead and he's calling in. Where is he calling in? Go on, calling in. Let's see if I can get him. See if we can make this work. Oh, where'd he go? There he is. Invite. Let's do this. Gotta get to the button before it. There you go.
Hello,
Christian.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
What time does your show come on?
Well, my live show is on Friday, and normally it starts around 8 o'clock. Between 8 and 8:30 is when I try to get it on Friday, Eastern Standard Time.
In the morning?
Yeah, in the morning.
Okay, dokie.
And then every morning I usually have a recorded show that usually shows up between 8 and 10 o'clock, anywhere in there, depending on what time I get things around.
Okay, well, I do my own show too.
Okay, where are you from?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, yeah. I've been there.
Yep. I have my own show. It's called Time to Talk Christian. It's just about talking about how the Spirit is just talking about different things. And we talk about, and we at the end of the show, we talk about dogs and Christian things a little bit. That's just about it for a Christian. It's just called Time to Talk Christian because we talk and then at the end we talk about Christian things.
Cool. That's very, very cool. How old are you?
So yeah. Nobody. I've had my show on for weeks and nobody will join my show.
Oh, well, I'll promote it here. We'll talk about it here. So everybody's going to hear about it today. So Time to Talk Christian is the name of your show.
Yep, and it's at Time to Talk Christian.
Okay.
As you can see.
What time do you usually have it on?
From normally 10:30 or 11:30 in the mornings.
Okay.
I'm about to have it on right after your show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Everybody can listen to my show and then they can listen to your show. That'll be perfect.
Yeah, so I'm going to follow you. I'm following you right now.
Okay.
And I hope you'll do the same for me.
I will do the same. I'll listen to your show. You betcha. I'll do that.
So whenever you end, I will start my show.
All right. Appreciate it. What's your name? First
John.
Name? John. John. Nice to meet you, John. I'm Kevin.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. You have a great day.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. Right. Okay, bye.
I'll be waiting on y'all to join my show.
All right, I'll do that as soon as I get off here. I'm just planning on wrapping up my show right now, so thanks for calling and listening.
I'll stay on until you wrap it up.
Okay, thanks. Well, God bless that young man. So here he is out here making his little show, getting his start early on. Going to be the next Rush Limbaugh, maybe. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with him? Once again, folks, I want to thank you all for listening, and thanks for subscribing. Thank you for following me and commenting and all the things you do, sharing the show, all those things you do out there. Shabbat shalom. Guys, we're going into the weekend. Tomorrow is, as we approach the weekend, tomorrow is the Sabbath, and Sunday will be our day of worship, I guess, in most places. So we'll continue to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for young fellows like John, who's starting a show, talking about Christian stuff. That's pretty cool. All right, folks, once again, have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your day. God bless. Take care. Do the best we can with our leaders that we got. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for each other. We'll just move forward from there. Take care, folks. Go listen to John. Time to talk Christian.